Okay. Welcome to the Questionable Behavior Podcast. Please don't forget to follow us on Instagram at @_QBPC. Also, give us 5 stars on iTunes and anywhere you have stars. This is your host, Edison, and we have a special episode today. We are in Milan, Italy, and we have one of the most famous voices coming out of Milan, Mr. Giacomo Zito. How are you doing, sir?
Fine, thank you. And don't call me sir, please. just Giacomo, okay?
So initially, I want to just, we were just talking about it. Cast 4 is, we are in your studio here in Milan, and Cast 4 is the company. But Gli Ascoltabili is basically the production and all the shows that you guys put together. So I just want to go around and tell everybody the team that's here. We have the whole team basically that who's putting all these shows together. So if we could just go around and say hello.
Hello, hi, I'm Giuseppe. I'm one of the writers of Gli Ascoltabili. Mm-hmm. Then we have Sofia, which is the producer of the shows.
Hello, everybody. I'm Sofia.
And I'm Nicoletta. Hello, everybody.
And Nicoletta, what do you do as well?
I'm a social media manager in Cast 4.
So that's who gave us the follow on Instagram. So all your shows here are scripted and they are produced weekly. So tell me a little bit about that process in general and how you guys managed to get all this done. Because I think you have maybe 7 or 8 shows that you're producing at the moment.
That's right. Normally, gliascoltabili.it, which is the name of the website, do produce, we have 4 shows normally that we do produce constantly. Mm-hmm. And after 3 months, we change the series.
Okay.
So now you can see 7 shows on our website, but we started with 3, mm-hmm. and now we are producing 4 more. Mm-hmm. On May this year, we will be producing 4 more shows. So mm-hmm. you will find 11 shows on the website, right?
And are they all on a weekly basis or?
They are definitely on weekly basis, and we do produce a series of 12 episodes for 3 months.
Okay, so 12 episodes, you produce 12 episodes together and then you launch them after?
It's not exactly like this.
No, definitely.
Go ahead.
It would be really, really good to produce 12 episodes before the starting of the show, but since it's the authors have to write the whole story, and then we have to check the soundtrack, then we have to recheck the author story, mm-hmm. so we usually go one episode by one,
right.
So we produce the first one, then while we have we are at the end of the producing of the first one, we are in halfway for the second one, so it's always a day-by-day process for the production.
And who's writing all these stories in general?
Giuseppe. Yeah, we have a team of authors, including Giacomo, me, and other writers, mm-hmm. and we usually have a monthly meeting in which we discuss stories, and we say, we'll write that, and we just focus on the stories we want to tell, and then we start with the writing stuff, and it usually takes 2 days to write a story, 25-minute stories mm-hmm. we have on average. And then we put the production, we start the production after the scripts are green-lighted, mm-hmm. and we then start with the production. So we usually have 2 days, 2 days and a half to write, to reread, and to start with the production.
But I have to say that the 2 other authors are one of the co-founder of mm-hmm. theascoltabili.it with Simone Spoladori, who mm-hmm. could not be here right now. And then we have Francesco Mastroeni, which is another author. So we are 4 people inside the team. Mm-hmm. And we have more authors
outside.
Passionate with writing.
We'll mention them, Cristina Benfenati and Lorenzo Pedrazzi, who help us to the writing process and to the writing board.
So now when you're recording this story, and does it take multiple takes? Like you tell the story and you don't like maybe the way it sounds and you want to go back, and how many times do you usually your hosts record? And is that like does that take a long time?
Well, it depends. Usually before we record, the story is put on the radar of the whole team. So mm-hmm. when you record, usually you have said the stories, but it can happen that who records doesn't always fit with the story and then says, well, just try to write that part again and put this moment elsewhere. So it may happen. It may happen.
So in general, it's a lot of work that you guys are putting together within a week. You know, the whole team here is, it's amazing, actually, guys.
Let me tell you a story. We are just producing a series which has been, which is an idea by Giuseppe. And it is written by Giuseppe. The English translation may be
fooled by weddings.
Fooled by weddings.
Yeah. A story of couples, you know. And we asked a couple of actors to take part of the first episode. And now that the episode is edited, we discussed together and we said, oh, we need more reality, we need more realism. So what we can do, okay, let's call the actor back together and re-record some part, because we want to, it's the first fictional project we are making, so we need really to be close to
reality. We have more truth.
Right, so it's easier. So now you have to put on almost like a show, in a sense, listener, is...
The actors need to be directed in some other way than we did the first time, basically.
So I want to go back to you, Giacomo.
Yeah.
I don't want to call you Mr. Zito because you get angry
with
me.
Please do not.
No, I'm kidding.
You make me feel so old.
You had a show that you were producing that had over 600 episodes, and you were telling different stories, and me and Giuseppe spoke about it earlier. It's still ongoing now as a podcast where you're intertwining stories. So tell me a little bit about that show in general, and how do you get these stories together and intertwining characters. He said there's an episode coming out with Tina Fey and Childish Gambino.
Yeah.
So how do you get those stories together and those ideas?
Okay, the idea of Destini Incrociati, which is crossed fates, the English translation, came in 2009, and was writing writing down some ideas of a show, of a radio show. And I first wrote a story. I got in touch of a documentary by Sylvester Stallone talking about his life. And I really got impressed on how when he started writing Rocky, and he told the story that he went to Cleveland and watched a box match between Muhammad Ali and a white fighter called Chuck Wepner. And he was so impressed talking about the story of Chuck Wepner, and it really inspired him on writing Rocky. I said, this is a story of crossed fates. And I started writing down this story in a way that could put in the center of the story the moment that Sylvester Stallone watched at this guy who was fighting with the best of all times in the ring, and he never fell down, even though he lost the match. And then I went to a radio network with this script, and I said, I would like to make this program. And it was Radio 24, an Italian talk network, not musical, just talk. And they told me, oh, wow, it's interesting. It took me 1 month to write the script.
One episode.
And I was figuring out that it could be a weekly show. And they said, and they told me, okay, we want to do it on daily basis.
Oh.
Every day, one story. And that's how it started.
And I said, and you were doing it every day at the time.
I said myself, okay, I have to do it. I have no choice. If I want to do to get the job, I have to do it. So I called Simone, that was one of the author I talked to you about, which is part of the team. And I said, Simone, he was my friend. I have this job, but I can handle by myself. You have to help me. And he said, okay, let's do it. And then I asked the same thing to another girl, another mm-hmm. writer, and she got agree. We started, we were the three of us, and we've been working on this show for 3 months. Then we were really...
So you had to get a certain amount of episodes written before even...
Yes, but we had... this happened on December 2009, and we first aired on the 5th of January 2010. So we had just 1 month. So in 1 month, we could write down and produce 10 episodes. We needed 10 more just to end January. So it was really a fight. Mm. And at the end of the program, after 600 shows.
Yeah. They made a TV show after, right?
Yes, well, that's right.
Yeah, so
but what I was going to tell you is that we had, we finished this series with the 13 authors working with us.
Oh, wow.
Because otherwise we couldn't do it.
Right. Especially, so it was 600 episodes and it was daily.
It was daily for 3 years, wow. 200 episodes per year.
Wow.
Yes.
That is impressive.
And you asked me how did the format was born. Mm-hmm. And it was born by chance. Because first I got impressed by the story of Sylvester Stallone. And then I asked myself, which is the idea behind this story? Is the idea that one people meet another people, and then his life changes.
Mm.
So
someone has to write the crossfade for you and Sylvester Stallone. And that's the next episode.
Okay, that's right.
That's how it all started.
We'll write that.
So tell me, like, how did they make it into a TV show after? And how long was that running for?
Okay, you know, the show became very famous in Italy. Mm-hmm. So everybody was listening to it. And even television people were listening to it. You know, TV people are always looking for new ideas.
Right, right.
And this was a very huge material because I produced 600 stories, which were a huge amount of information, mm-hmm. things, because they are real people, Italian, right. American, European, any kind of mm-hmm. stories of real people. And we got in touch with the different TV networks mm-hmm. that approached us asking, oh, what can we do? It could be interesting to bring it in television. But we always faced a big problem, which is how can we solve the... We can talk about anything.
Right. But how do you put the image together?
How can we put the images together?
Yeah.
And we had... It was really hard. And there was no solution to find enough images mm-hmm. for a 30-minute show.
Yeah.
So one day we got in touch with some guys, our directors and animators. And animators, mm-hmm. We got the idea to bring characters to life by drawing them.
Oh,
so
okay.
It is an animated,
right.
An animated series,
mm-hmm.
Lasting 8 minutes each one. So we shortened,
mm-hmm.
and we just paint all the characters. And it was a good idea for a Sky channel.
Mm-hmm.
Dedicated to art.
Okay.
Sky art,
okay.
And we focused on only to artists.
Okay.
So painters, musicians,
people in entertainment in general.
Yeah. Yes. Mm. And
you won a prize also for it, right? It's the Ennio Flaiano?
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about that. Prize and what that means for the show.
I'm really proud of it because nobody asked me. I was sitting upstairs here. We just received one phone call, and I've been told, Giacomo, it's somebody who told you you won a prize. You want to talk with him? Oh no, I don't want to talk with him because it probably it's a joke. Okay. And after he called back again, and he said, and it was Ennio Flaiano, International Prize representative. Wow, I said, the Ennio Flaiano Prize is quite a very important prize in Italy. It's international. And I was called by the president of the commission. And the president of the commission was a producer, a very great producer, TV producer from Canale Cinque, which is a huge TV network.
National network here.
Yeah. And it was highly renowned, so I knew who he was.
Right.
So when he presented himself, it's really you. I can't believe it. Okay. And he said, "Okay, you won the prize. Will you come to get it or not?" And I said, "Of course I will." Okay. And then we went to Pescara, which is the native town of Ennio Flaiano, who is an Italian writer, comedy writer. Highly renowned. He inspired.
Yeah, he's worked with Fellini too in films. He's very popular.
And I went to Pescara with all the team, and it was very impressive because we were together with a lot of actors, film directors, and the prize has different categories.
Right, kind of, you know.
And we won the prize for the best cultural TV program. Oh, of 2014.
Well, congratulations. Normally on our show, we pop or clap for accomplishments, so we're going to have to clap for this one. So tell me how you got this team together and what made you start this whole studio and open this place up in itself?
Cast 4 is an agency focused on storytelling. Yeah, I founded it in 2013. And after the experience of being a radio producer, because this experience changed my life. I was a communicator professional before, and then the power of telling stories changed my mind and my way of thinking.
Right, after 600 episodes, it kind of sparked something different.
That's right. And I said, I have to put this in favor of the commercial world for all the companies, because all the companies need to tell stories. So Cast 4 was born with this purpose. Then lately in 2018, I got in touch again with Simone, who had another company focused on communication, and we decided to put those two companies together. And then we were part of, we just melt the teams. Sofia is part of Simone's team, and Nicoletta as well. Giuseppe always have been working with me. So we are now one thing.
Right.
And always focused on storytelling identity project for companies. This is our main job. We do it for a living, and but we did not forget our passion for telling stories. And with this revolution with the podcast world, we decided to
also host a couple of shows on top of it. So when you say you make stories for different brands, what does that exactly entail? Like, what do you do for? You said you mentioned you're working with Ducati before. So what do you exactly do with? A brand like that.
You know, in Italian brands are typically they come from families, from people,
right?
And the stories of those families are very important to them and to the people that approach their products. Having some people who are able to effectively raise up the story behind the company nowadays brings more value to the company and to the product they do deliver.
Right.
And companies are always focused on making storytelling projects because they do talk to their people through the social media channels. They have quite a lot of opportunities to talk with their
customers. So when you're putting this story together, how do they present it?
In the language is video or also audio. Yeah. We make some podcasts for companies. They talk about their business, but not only their business, but
the whole upbringing of the brand
That's right.
A larger universe of values about their brands, not just the brands itself.
Yeah, me and Giuseppe yesterday Sophia as well have been working in a TV set in a theater, interviewing 15 big manager of an insurance company. The company wanted those people to rise up with their personalities and to show that they are good professionals, but also good people. Mm-hmm. And we interviewed them like you are interviewing us. And
so when you're interviewing them, is that how, what I want to know is like, because those interviews don't come on your network. You're not launching them here. So is it something that you just produce for them specifically? And then
it's going to become a video that the company will show to all their people. There are 15,000 people in Italy, and there will be one day with a streaming and with a big event with 2,000 people. They are going to show.
Oh, it's like a company interviews. Video. Right?
That's right.
I got it. So is that the main source of income for the studio here?
That's right. This is the main income for us. We are not gaining any money with the podcast production. We're just doing because we like it first, and secondly, we think that we have to be here. It's a place to be right now, because we don't know what will happen tomorrow. There are a lot of changes in those times, and podcasting is a new way of communicating, which is the oldest one because being behind a microphone.
Right. Now they allow you to put it on the internet. That's the difference.
The idea is to put everything on the internet.
Yeah. And you guys just wanted to kind of make sure you're in the podcast world as well. Obviously, you're renowned and you've done radio, so it's a space that's growing. And how is the podcast world in Italy in general? Is it like a popular way that people listen to podcasts, or is it just growing now?
There has been a research in which 2 million people are listening to podcasts, but it's still... It's growing. Most of time, people say, "Is that radio?" So there is not clear. The difference is not clear still. But some people, especially the youngest audiences, are developing an interest for that. Mm-hmm. It's growing. 2 million. It's not that.
Yeah. I know we charted in the top 100 in Australia, and Australia between 2017 and 2018 doubled their podcast audience. So, you know, in general, even in the United States, it's growing every year.
Yeah,
so.
You have popular people doing podcasts. I remember some years ago, Alec Baldwin hosted a podcast. Elizabeth Banks is hosting a podcast. Here in Italy, it's slow, but we are growing.
Is there what's like one of the most popular podcasts here in general?
And it's one of the most popular. It was developed by an Italian writer and TV host. It was based on a crime story which happened in Pianura Padana in Italy. It was inspired by a crime stories involving children. And its name was Veleno, was poison.
Poison.
But there are... What is most influential right about now is radio shows that you can download in podcast. So that's why people just don't know the difference because they think podcast is the radio adaptation or the radio download possibility to... Right.
For a regular radio station. Yeah. Okay, so radio stations do post their episodes as a podcast.
Right about now.
They're cheating.
That's right.
Now, the question, the matter is to show people that radio and podcasts are different things.
Right.
Right about that.
Yeah. I mean, in the United States specifically, there's been popular people that now have TV shows, and they started with a podcast in their room. You know, Desus and Mero are two popular like personalities that started with a podcast in their apartment, and then now they host a TV show, a talk show, basically in one of the biggest networks on Showtime. And
really?
Showtime has never had a talk show before, and so their first talk show were people that started from a podcast. And there's been actually multiple people that have started with podcasts and literally are on TV now, you know. So, but like you said, in the States, every famous person kind of has their own, you know, whether UFC fighter, he has his own podcast. Joe Rogan, he does everything, Joe Rogan has one of the most popular podcasts out right now, you know. So the space is huge, and everybody over there, all you have to do is buy a microphone and then you can stream your podcast. So like I said before, it's a very congested market.
67 million of American listen to podcasts.
See, I didn't even know that exact
number. We look forward being invited by you on your next TV show.
Exactly, yeah. That's the next step. Yeah, next time you guys take a New York trip, we'll be on TV. So we're going to put it in the atmosphere and it's going to come back to us. So I saw right when I walked in the No Ethics, No Brand. So tell me the meaning behind that.
All right. No, it was first. It was a joke between me and Simone. We were talking about if we had a communication agency, how would you name it? And I said I would name it No Ethics, No Brand. The reason is in the name itself, which means companies do not have to communicate if they do not believe in some values. Okay, and when we got together in March 2018, like I told you, we said, okay, we are melting our teams together. How are we calling this experience?
Right, between the two brands.
Oh, we already have the name. It's No Ethics, No Ethics, No Brand. So now we are communicating our customers that we have become something different. Mm-hmm. We grow as a team. We have more skills, more specific skills, and we have a new name, which is No Ethics, No Brand. You know, nowadays we all are talking about sustainability and being less impact on the environment.
Right.
Being
that's very popular right now.
So. Yeah, social responsibility, which is. All the people do talk like with those having in mind those values and No Ethics, No Brand mix, the whole thing all together.
Yeah. So it just makes sense. So in general, what's the next step for you guys? Like what do you see you guys doing in the future? What's the plan with the podcast in general and the brand?
Okay. It's hard to say. We're making a lot of efforts to produce all those podcasts because it's not just getting on the microphone. It takes a lot of backroom work. Yes, and there are the actors who need, of course, have to be paid. There are the producers that we all are making great efforts. So we are trying to understand how we can make money from this, just to pay the costs,
right?
And one of our idea is to reach the point that companies could find interest on branding a series with their name, like in US is happening. So this podcast is offered to you by
right.
This and that.
Okay. Well, we're going to give a shout out to our sponsors, Montclair Brewery, really quickly, since we were talking about that. Thank you for providing beer for our show. Unfortunately, we couldn't bring beer to Italy, but shout out to Montclair Brewery. We brought you all the way to Italy. Really quick plug in right there. But yeah, I mean, in the United States in general, there's a lot of statistics that show that people interact with the advertisements, and there's a high percentage of interaction with advertisements and podcasts in general, and especially when a host is naturally kind of talking about the product. And like Joe Rogan, for example, he likes to actually use whatever he's advertising. So when he's talking about it, he's kind of just talking like himself, like, oh, yeah, I tried this. It's very nice. Cool. And people interact with that, like, oh, you know, Joe Rogan tried it. Let me try it. You know,
Sure.
Same thing like with Howard Stern, like I was talking about. He does the same thing. Even when he has these commercial breaks, he's talking about it. It's just, I mean, he's on radio, but still, he's very natural. Oh, you got to use this. I've used it, and people interact and want to buy the product. Yeah, they trust the host. Exactly. So with Italy being only 2 million at the moment on podcasts, I'm sure that's growing. And
yes, we have to reach a point that makes companies be interested on it. At the moment, the numbers are not so big to justify this. So we couldn't go to our clients, let's say, for instance, and say, okay, please make a sponsorship on our show. No? No, why should I?
Right.
This is the answer.
But that's why where the consistency again comes in.
And, yeah.
And, you know, you build the following.
That's it.
You're telling the story.
That's what
so, you know. And then the advertisements will just come hand in hand. I mean, it took us a year just to get beer. So, you know.
Right. It's quite sponsored.
Yeah.
And thanks to this beer manufacturer, we're here and we are talking together.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah. But let me see. Let me just check my notes because you also did voiceovers for cartoons and other famous Italian shows. So your voice is kind of everywhere. You've been on Discovery Channel. You've done stuff for brands like Infiniti and Ducati, you mentioned. So how did you start with your, you know, project? How did you bring your voice to the
public? You know, first of all, I'm an actor.
Okay.
I started studying as an actor when I was 17 years old.
Right.
And when I was 22, I started being a... I can say in English, a dubber, movie dubber.
Mm-hmm.
So I got into a studio and I've been in a studio for 20 years, voicing American TV series and cartoons, whatever. When I was 37, I decided to build a production company. Decided to get on the other side, but when you learn cycling, you never stop. So I always have been asked to voice for TV stations, and actually I am the voice of Discovery Channel Italy.
Oh, okay.
So I keep on
currently
doing it.
Still
current. Okay. Yeah.
So you've been doing that for a long time, if I'm not mistaken, right? For Discovery Channel specifically.
I've been voicing for Sky TV, and I started with Mediaset, which is a great
Berlusconi's old company.
Berlusconi's company. Yes,
I know everything about Milan. You know, it's similar.
I started with this company when I was 18 years old. My first casting was with him. And probably it's one of the reasons I really trusted I could do something in this world.
So speaking of Berlusconi, I was in Malta about a year or two ago, and I was talking to people from Milan and from Italy, and they were like, how could you guys vote for Donald Trump? They're like, what is wrong with you? I said, you guys voted for Berlusconi 3 times. I said, don't fucking tell me about Trump.
Oh, that's right.
So, hey, if you can vote for Berlusconi, we can vote for Trump.
Yes, we were the first one. We designed the roadmap.
Yeah. You guys are following us on entertainment. We're following you on president. So.
That's right.
So, in general, like, I want to know kind of from you guys, what is your passion in general? Like Giuseppe was telling me, he hosts one of the shows, but he said that's not really his passion, and he does a lot of backroom work.
Yeah. I prefer writing more, but I usually have a lot of fun in voicing and in the hosting. But I'm an author, so that's why.
So writing is like your
my passion for this moment this moment.
Yeah. Oh, happy birthday, by the way. You know, it's his 30th birthday today, and you're hosting us, you know. So
we wanted to keep it.
We should be hosting you, but
well, I don't have a particular passion here, but because I love communication, and I'm just figuring out which particular kind of communication I do prefer. Mm. And I didn't know I would have tried this podcast thing, because I didn't even knew it.
You didn't know what it was?
No, definitely not. And but I really love radio, so I do also love podcasts, and that, but I found out here. And
Do you see yourself like do you listen to more podcasts now ever since you started producing?
Yeah, definitely, because I found out that when I listen to radio, I also listen to a lot of advertising, and but also a lot of topic that I don't care about. And so with podcasts on Spotify or web radio, I can go deep to the topic I want to listen to.
Right, you can go to a specific show exactly for what
you're... And it's also a way of learning more about yourself, because, you know, that I do like this, but I do also like this one, but I prefer that. And so you go deep in this way, and you check what you really, really like, and you learn a lot from podcasts.
So now that, like, when you're listening to shows, because of the fact that you're also producing them, do you find yourself listening in a lot more detail and kind of trying to, oh, that's how they...
Yes, definitely. Most of all about sound check, about sound tracking, about sound design behind it. Not also about podcasts, but also about any kind of program. I have a different perception of sound design, because before I didn't have any, maybe. And now I pay attention to some details, and when something is, I don't know, not correct from my point of view, maybe I say, well, I would have done it differently. And maybe I say, oh, well, I like this, because I know that Giacomo loves the swoosh, the sound design from one scene to another. And then I say, okay, we can use it in our podcast. And then I write it down, and I go to the sound designer and tell him. So I put this here.
this kind of thing
differently, yes.
Yeah, I mean, same for me, even initially, before I started the podcast, I didn't listen to any podcast at all. I knew they were all out there. I just never listened. And I was always interested in radio, so I started the podcast. And then every time I was listening to the radio shows, I'm like, oh, that's how he asked the question. Because sometimes, you know, some interviewers are very great at making people kind of discuss things that they wouldn't naturally talk about. So I'm like, how do they ask, like, so natural, and just, you know, to make the people discuss. So now all those details, like, okay, I'm gonna try that the next episode. I'm, you know, it just
definitely.
Like you said, you start inspecting a lot more.
Yeah.
So I want to hear from the social media manager, because she's been quiet over there the whole time.
Yes, it's actually the first time that I do this thing of speaking out in a microphone.
Oh.
Because I'm more, I'm always.
Your debut is on the Questionable Behavior podcast.
Yeah. Okay, I'm always backstage, so I observe and I communicate to others what is going on here, and like Sophia, I'm interested in communication and in stories, and podcast is in the middle, in between story and a way of communicate something else.
Right.
So with a story, you can communicate many things. And that's what we usually do in social media. We just tell the story behind the podcast itself.
Right.
And it's interesting. I already listened to some podcasts about design and contemporary art. But this kind of podcast is very different.
The storytelling, you mean? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I find it like a book. Mm-hmm. So when you when you're reading to a book, you're like going anywhere else. And now I listen to it before going to bed.
Mm.
And while I'm relaxing or cooking something.
Right, you just play a podcast.
Yes, yeah. And you can do a lot of things while listening to a podcast.
Yeah, I've heard actually from like a lot of different people that they don't even listen to music as much anymore. They just listen to a podcast. You know, like you said, you're cooking, you're not playing music anymore, you're listening to a show. And it's you know, it's interesting to see. And it's, you know, for us, it's like, oh, good. You know, it's thankfully good. Right. Keep listening.
But, you know, there's a story about Nicoletta. When I first interviewed her, mm-hmm. Before she came to work with us,
mm-hmm.
And I told her that we wanted to do this project of podcasting and making some series, she said, oh, wow, there's a design. What she mentioned, mm-hmm. there's a design show I'm listening to. And after our talk, mm-hmm. I went to the web and tried what kind of a show mm-hmm. could be interesting for a 25-year-old mm-hmm. girl, because it's my job. I have to understand it. And it's something similar. This show, which is called Café Design, right? Which is very renowned. It's made by young people like her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely the same, based on the same way we're doing your show right mm-hmm. now.
Okay.
So people loving design, talking together with no limits, with no rules.
Hmm. So... do you see yourself kind of being on the microphone later on, or is that something that this is like your first?
I like to experiment, so maybe in the future, and
you might be the first English host, as we were talking earlier. So
that's right.
you might have put yourself in a predicament.
Yeah, I'm actually out of practice right now, but you know, with time.
Yeah. So like, I know if like for musicians in general, like they certain. Musicians that offer value to their fans tend to get like very loyal fans. Like I'm talking specifically in hip hop, like J. Cole. Because he makes a fan feel like they're smarter by listening to him, they follow him no matter what. You know, J. Cole, for example, that got him specifically. He can put any music out, and if you talk to his fans, they will say it's good no matter what.
Yeah,
I feel it's kind of the same with podcasts. If you're offering a certain value to whoever's listening, they will start supporting you because of that value you're offering them. They feel, you know, you're making them feel a certain way for listening to your show, like better than listening to that one. So
yeah, people follow you rather than what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they follow the person that you are because they trust you, because they trust your content, because you do it.
Exactly. In the beginning, when we started, we had the guests. So our biggest focus was, let's show everybody the guests that we have.
Mm-hmm.
But then after, you know, observing other shows, and it's like, you know, like Joe Rogan's and all these other famous podcasts, you realize nobody really cares who's on that show. They go for Joe Rogan. They go for, you know, Howard Stern. They go for these people. And it doesn't matter who's sitting down with him. That's what they listen for.
Yeah.
So, you know, getting that natural feeling out to the fans and for them to follow is what creates the bigger.
This is the magic. Mm-hmm. People do trust you for your show. They want to. They know who you are,
mm-hmm.
and that's why they follow you. And you know, with the storytelling, it's something different because it's not me, Giacomo Zito. It's not Giuseppe Paternò. We are in the credits in the end of the show. No?
But they're listening to the personality.
And we're trying to experiment new ways. Giuseppe's show, it talks with the Simone about movies. It's him and Simone. So they are... People have to trust them because they are Simone and Giuseppe.
Yeah,
that's it.
Exactly. And trust their opinions on
that's it.
Yeah, on movies. So, like, when you're putting the stories together, how much acting is involved? You have an acting background, so how much acting has to be involved in these stories for you to be able to tell it in an interesting manner? Like how?
You know, I am a very particular animal behind the microphone, because the way I use my voice is something I can't. It is part of myself. You are listening to me. I think I am myself, but probably because of this experience of many years behind the microphone, probably my voice looks like a little bit artifact. Mm. I don't know how if you get me. Unnatural.
Okay.
And this is a problem to me, because I would like to get close to the people and tell them what I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when I do read a script by Giuseppe or whoever in my show, which is Destini Incrociati, I always have my wife always listen to it and say, she says, "Oh, Giacomo, but I don't trust you because you're so because you're so clean, you're so perfect. Everything is so perfect. It's too much." Mm-hmm. And this is my big deal today.
So speaking of that, earlier when we were doing the show, I listen back to the episodes and I make editing notes, obviously sent to the editor. And in the beginning, it was like I was saying like, okay, cut that okay off. You know, I said there, take the out. Okay. You know, and it was very particular. You know, the whole page of notes. And then when I was listening to more shows, I see, you know, like shows are like, hey, move the camera over there. Hey, bring the mic closer. You know, they don't edit that out. It's all natural. And I'm like, why the fuck am I, you know, taking out every hello, you know, being very particular. So now it's just much less and we just let everything just happen.
No need.
And you get more of that natural feel, you know, instead of like going through all the okay, yeah.
I don't know if I answered your question with what I said, but I think that acting is something you can do without if you've been acting for a lifetime. Mm.
But with involving the script, you have to act it out. Otherwise, you know, if you just sit there and read,
yes,
and people are not.
I participated to a workshop by an American actor, and a few years ago, and was important. I really remember one sentence he was saying: "You have to serve the story always, no matter how you do it. But you have to serve the story. You don't have to be beautiful for yourself." Mm-hmm. You just have to serve what is written on the story. If you do this, you make a honest job. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I could.
No, I get it completely, because you have to kind of, if the story is a happy story, you have to be happy telling it. If it's a sad story, you have to now feel that emotion from the story. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense if you're happy and someone's dying. So,
you know, you're always a medium of the idea of somebody else. Mm-hmm. And that's why we talked together. I said, mm-hmm. Giuseppe, what do you want to say with this? Because I would like to be close to your meaning. And we have to talk before we start recording, always.
So do you guys have any questions for me and the American side of the podcasting?
Well, let me think about it.
I thought you were.
We definitely have. But I don't know, maybe I just see this huge difference between what we do here, mm-hmm. about stories, about podcasts, about stories. Mm-hmm. That's why we talk about acting.
Yeah.
Because we are more... near theater,
right.
than cinema, and we see you more near cinema. And when you do your podcast, you talk to each other.
Yeah.
While here, we also record a podcast without the all actors in here, because mm-hmm. they do not always need to have one in front of each other, because
right.
they have to act.
Yeah,
they have to act the story. They have character, and that's all. And so I don't know if this live session that you do in a podcast might be for you easier or maybe harder for your section for your podcast sometimes.
I mean, from like talking to you guys, I can see that the behind the scenes work that you guys do is, you know, putting a story together, getting a writer to put a story and then acting it out, I feel like is a lot more than what we do in general. For me personally, I do a lot of research. You know, I looked him up. I had to translate all the websites to English and all of that. So I went through that. And my personal goal is when somebody sits down with me is I'm not asking you the same questions that you're being asked somewhere else. Yeah. I'm not asking you questions that as if I don't know you, have never heard of you before. The whole point of sitting with me is because I'm doing my research and, you know, I'm making sure that you're telling the best of you on my show.
Okay.
That's kind of what
because
I try
this
to.
This works on different, you have to be a kind of person to do this, because I bet that you would do this also at a bar or in a restaurant. You would sit with someone and act in the same way you act with during a podcast.
That's
so
actually pretty accurate. Yeah,
a huge part of personality working in your kind of podcast, and this is good because this makes the trust. Mm. Because you cannot fake this.
Exactly.
This thing. And so this is really, really what I hope that Italian podcast will reach.
Well, I hope you guys will be, you know, hosting one similar to ours in the near future. So we were kind of talking about that in general, that you would like to experiment with it. But I think personally, every time, like for example, if I'm traveling, even I'm coming from Rome to Milan, and I just look at the streets and I see a house, and I always wonder, or I see like just a car driving by, I wonder, how did that person get there?
Yeah.
It was always just an interest. Like that always interested me. Like, how do these people end up here? Or you're driving, for example, even in America and in the middle of nowhere and there's a house. It's like, what the fuck is this person doing? Yeah. You know, that's what I always used to think about. And then now I feel like with guests, it's the same way. Like I sit down, I'm like, oh, why, you know, how did you do this? Why did you end up doing this? And I'm genuinely interested, you know, to learn about you and whatever. So
we have to congratulate with you because you're quite a curious person, and it's really so clear. There's one.
Yeah. It's okay. We're at the end of the show, okay. So he just walked in.
If you want to invite him, it's okay. And yes, because it's perfectly clear that you are focused and interested on people, human being. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're bringing in your show. You want people to get as they are, and you know the keys to get in their personalities.
Yeah, I think it's just I'm a talkative person, like she said. So I can sit there, I can just talk to anybody.
It's a good thing. It's not like
No. I know.
It's creepy. Good thing.
Anyway, it's the questionable behavior. So even if you call me creepy, it's okay.
okay.
No, but yeah, I guess it's that curiosity, and it's just like, you know, I obviously have my notes, but when things come, it's just that the questions that I'm asking is just because I'm just curious. It's not something I have written down. It's just, oh, I, for example, my notes here is just literally your accomplishments, and I'm like, okay, so when we get to a point, I mention it. So that's it. So, but I want to just thank you guys for hosting us here. You know, it's been great. First of all, your studio is wonderful, and the hospitality has been amazing. You know, for us to be able to come and record our show in your studio is, you know, I thank you guys so much for that. I appreciate it, and I owe you guys a drink from a beer.
Right.
I can't bring the beer from New Jersey, but we're going
to
get a beer right after.
We'll
have Peroni. So.
Right. We're willing to have a questionable behavior back again in our studios.
For sure. Our next trip in Milan, we will come back hopefully with my original co-host. He'll be able to make it next time as well. Shout out to DC. And also, guys, make sure to go to... you guys got to spell it out for me. Gli Ascoltabili.
Gli Ascoltabili dot IT.
More acting, Giacomo.
I should spell it, right?
Yeah.
Right? GLIASCOLTABILI.
Yes. Oh, wow. .IT.
You'd better put it on your Instagram.
Ascoltabili. The way you say it is the way you spell it. Make sure to check them out and learn Italian. Why not? Yeah. Everybody, you know, it's a beautiful language. And for the guys out there, all the women, we love you, we like you more. And for the girls, just learn Italian for fun.
just to check what Italian tells you.
Everybody, don't forget to give us 5 stars on iTunes and anywhere we get stars. And also, make sure to check out their shows and rate their shows as well, 5 stars, even if you don't understand anything. Just trust me. All right. Thanks again, guys, for being on the show. And thank you, Giacomo, for having us. And we look forward to hosting you guys in New York when you come by and coming back to Milan.
Thanks to you, Edison.
Thank you so much. Hopefully you guys enjoyed your time on the show.
Ciao. Grazie. Ciao.